Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Sil.
And it's Monday, and we're going to start off with the positive Monday and give our best wishes to all the moms out there and hope you had a wonderful, happy Mother's Day. Sorry, we totally forgot about this last week and mentioning it on the show. We got caught up with all the excitement of the playoffs, but happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
Yes, happy belated Mother's Day to all those moms out there. So as we are recording this on Monday, May 9th, the day after Mother's Day, we are going to do our very best to try not to be too negative after last night's embarrassing 7-3 loss. I mean, you know, if we're trying to be positive, we could say really it was more like 5-3 because there were two empty net goals. But did we really think the Leafs would make things easier for themselves? Probably not.
No, no. So this team has never made things easy, whether it be in this Matthews era or at any other time since we've been Leaf fans, basically, which has been a very long time. So anyways, we're headed into game five and the series is tied 2-2 and it's now best of three and the Leafs have home ice. So we'll see what this team's got in them. And we just want to go back to our final episode of the season, episode 15, and give our thoughts on what the Leafs could use as a motivational tool for these playoffs. Not that they should need any motivation, but hey, I guess in that episode, we mentioned how last season the Leafs came up with this Stanley Cup plaque idea where there were some empty puck slots, and for each series, as the series went along, they would fill the empty puck slots with a puck for each game that was won. And we all know how that went last season. Not so great. So we came up with our own ideas as to what the Leafs could use as a team motivational tool. My idea, if they actually, I guess, wanted to do something, would be to bring in at the start of each series to bring in a former player, an alumni member like Wendell Clark, Darcy Tucker, Daryl Sittler, Doug Gilmore, those kinds of guys. And then maybe for like the Stanley Cup final, should we make it there, bring in Dave Keon. You know, he's won the cup so with the Leafs. So something like that to get the guys having a feeling of the franchise history. Me and Sil, I'm sure if you've listened to our show for a while, you know that we're all about the history of the franchise. And I guess having that attachment with the current team is important for, we think so anyways. But yeah, what do you think?
I don't know. As much as I love that idea and I like to think that it would inspire them in some way, I just don't know if this generation really
gives a crap,
wants to hear from those guys. I kind of think that, you know, if they're going to listen to somebody, I mean, I think that it would be better if it was more one-on-one, you know, as opposed to them coming in to address the whole team. You know, something like that. Or, you know, I think that they maybe need to hear from Brandon Shanahan because he's kind of the leader at the top and he's won. And he knows, you know, what it takes. So, and he's their boss, technically. So I kind of think that maybe that might be something. But beyond that, the only other thing, we were just talking about Mother's Day, maybe they need to have a nice heart-to-heart with their moms because, their moms will tell them what's what. Their moms have taken them through, from peewee to now. And their moms will also make them feel better if they're feeling a little down and pump them up when we need to. So moms really, I think they have the pulse on their boys. And maybe they're the ones that can give them a little bit of a pep talk, get them going.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I don't know. But hopefully, like I said before, they really, and we said this before the show too, before we got on, they really shouldn't need any motivation.
No, really.
After five seasons now of this particular core group going through what they've gone through, they should be more than motivated themselves. But yeah, so
one thing that struck me, when I was watching the pressers for Tampa after game three is the demeanor, of them. They've won the cup already twice, and to a man, they were all pissed.
Yeah. And
they came out in game four playing like that. And that's one thing I've kind of yet to see from our team is they are very even keel, which in some ways that's good, but I kind of feel like I'd like to see them get a little bit pissed, and show that on the ice that they want it.
The only person that I find that when he speaks that he looks a little bit annoyed is Jake Muzzin in his pressers. Mm-hmm. He's won a cup before. And even in previous seasons, because he's been here a little bit now, he's gone through it. And previous seasons, like he's come right out and said some things that are, you would think that the group would have, taken to it by now, but they haven't. And but anyhow, we'll get into it a little bit more in the main part of the show. But we just want to, just a reminder to our listeners, after listening to our show, we would appreciate it if you could leave us a review. Both Apple and Spotify have a listener option to leave a rating or a review. And last week we told you about how to do it on Apple. So today we're going to, for our Spotify listeners, we're going to let you know it's easy to do this. If I can figure it out, you can figure it out. All you have to do for Spotify is go to your library, and at the top, you'll see three little dots. You click on those three little dots, and you'll see the option to rate our show. And of course, we hope you'll give us 5 stars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's important because we want to hear your thoughts on the show, and it will give us a much needed exposure as a source for Leaf content.
Mm-hmm. So last week, we mentioned that we gave the instructions for Apple, and one of our lovely listeners gave us a wonderful review. Wooty, Woutty, left us a very nice review, and we thank them very much. And of course, like we said, we want to hear more from our listeners. So definitely Apple or Spotify, give us a review there. So we also want to let you know again that we launched our website this year, ladiestalkinleafs.com. So you can check that out also. We have videos when we are guests of Hockey Time Machine, and you can find more about us and our show. And we'll be updating that website with more content as we go along as well. So now it's time to get into the show proper. And we are going to be starting with a new segment for the playoffs where we revisit our keys to the series, and we're calling it Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down. Then we're going to run our LTL playoff highlight reel, and in our third period segment, we're going to get into a couple of the other playoff series that have caught our attention. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
Oh, thumbs up, thumbs down. This is going to be a fun little segment. all right. So starting off with what I had, my first item was special teams. And boy, I really didn't expect that we would be having 8 penalties, the most penalties ever in one game yesterday in game number 4. But yeah, the refereeing has been quite interesting this playoffs. Basically calling everything, even some phantom calls. But anyhow, special teams, I gave it a thumbs down. Because you have to be thumbs up or thumbs down. There can't be anything in between, even though the PK hasn't been that bad. It's 78% right now. It's 8th in the playoffs. But the power play, I'm sorry, it's 10th right now. It's 16.7% in the 4 games. And that's just not good enough. I mean, we're always, even during the regular season, at least I know I am, like I'm willing to give them one power play to start, like to get warmed up. So I think where technically, if you're a really good team, you shouldn't need that warm up. You should be able to get it in the back of the net that first chance. I'm always willing to give them one, but they just, I don't know, they just can't get it going. They're overpassing still, I find. And,
They're definitely not shooting enough.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
Yeah. They're not shooting enough.
And that you can, all you need to do is look at Matthews' stats and the amount of shots he's taken.
Yeah.
Which are just like, so like, he's usually the guy who has like, you know, more than 7 shots per game. And he's just hardly shot anything this round so far.
With the exception of game number 1. I mean, game number 1, we were definitely the best team there.
And actually, you know, it's interesting because special teams were incredible in that game.
Yes.
Like perfectly executed on both sides. So, it's kind of been downhill a little bit from there. So,
yeah. What do you,
like you told me,
are you giving
you told me I could only be up or down. So
no in between.
I actually would be more neutral on this one just because I, you know, it just feels like that game a week ago, that game 1, which was just so incredible. It feels like it was a lifetime ago.
But, I know, yeah.
You know, it's obvious to me that they have it in them. So, let's hope that they just find... I just find that they're kind of, like you said, they're passing too much. They're always trying to look for the perfect play.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I noticed the biggest difference with Tampa's game is... They tried to do that in game 1 and it was a complete disaster because that it just didn't match up well with our game. And since then, they're not going for perfection. They're going for basically just pounding shots. Like I can't believe like how many shots from outside they're just like, you know, one-timing it and slapping it in.
Yeah.
Towards the goal to try to get some kind of garbage rebound in. And I'm not saying that we necessarily have to go to that extreme, but we definitely need to be shooting more and trying to get some kind of garbage in.
And obviously they have Victor Hedman and even Sergachev is pretty good from the point to
but
get those
I've
shots.
But I've noticed that everybody, as they come into the zone, they're just pounding the puck.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing too is I think, which I got frustrated a couple of times with John Tavares, is that... Like he's the net front presence. So he's providing the screen, but in some cases, he's been getting out of the way of Vasilevsky and allow, like, that's not the idea. The idea is to obviously for him not to see the puck, not to move out of the way so that, I know he doesn't want to obviously block the shot that's coming through, but he has to do a better job that way too, I think, of being that net front presence. And I find, too, like the bounces just in some ways aren't going for him too. Like you see him, he works so hard to try and like whether it be a tip or just trying to get that bouncing puck and it's just not there. He's like reaching for it and it just doesn't get on his stick. So I don't know, something has to work better though on the power play. The PK I'm not worried about at all. Mitch is doing fantastic on that and David Kampf and Mikheyev and Engvall. Kerfoot sometimes too, like they're all doing, they really have stepped up on the PK but when you take 8 penalties in one game, I mean, that's not good either, right? There's no flow to the game. And I mean,
No, and it's been a problem on both sides. So like both teams have had this issue.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the next one we had on your side?
Was fighting through adversity, and I'm giving that a thumbs down already because I think last night was, I think that even though they were up, I think the adversity is, the main theme of this whole round is getting that killer instinct and getting over that hump. And last night would have been the night to show it, and they came out completely flat and uninterested. So now they've really got themselves behind the eight ball. So there's only more adversity, but I think that, so far, because they haven't shown a consistent, consistently build from game to game when they've had a good showing, I'm giving them a thumbs down there.
All right. Well, I mean, I was going to say I didn't have a vote here, but
you said that's not allowed.
I know, but
I was one way or the other.
I was thinking that adversity, that they haven't actually gone through adversity, but then the way you've explained it now, I did write down, like, Elliot Friedman, I guess, last night was describing when the Leafs basically go into a position in a series where they have control, I guess, of the series. Mm-hmm. And they're in the lead. In those games where they can actually take control of the series, they're 1-8. So they have one win and eight losses in a series where they can actually take control of it, sort of thing. And then they're actually, when they're trailing the series, they're 7-3. Mm-hmm. And then if they're tied in the series, which is the way they are now, they're 7-10 to take control of the series. Like for tomorrow night, let's just say for game five, they're pretty much even to say they can win. But that 1-8, and that's where the whole mental aspect, I think, comes into it. The idea, hopefully the players and everybody there. I mean, I don't know how much they'll be looking at their phones or anything, but hopefully they're not looking at any or listening to any of the media with all these stats and everything. I mean, they know, obviously, themselves, they should. It's the same core here, but yeah, so I'd have to say it's a thumbs down as well for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, considering that kind of stats when you put it that way going into game four. Whereas I thought originally I was thinking they really haven't had the adversity yet, and it's tomorrow night. Basically, to me, they have to win game five if they don't.
Oh, without a doubt.
Like, that's it, sort of thing, right? But considering that they could have taken control, they had, I mean, these are the Stanley Cup champions, right? It's not like they're some, I don't know, schmucks.
they're no slouch.
Yeah. Right? They're not. Sure. Like, it's not like you're playing, I don't know, New Jersey or something like that. I have no idea.
Yeah. But the thing is it's, they have demonstrated to that team that they can be had.
Yeah.
Even Vasilevsky, you know, we can score on him.
Yeah.
So,
and that's the scary thing with Vasilevsky is the fact that he hasn't played his best game, right?
Yeah, I know.
So...
Yeah, so why are you giving him so many chances?
Exactly.
Anyway.
Anyways, all right.
All right, so let's move on to our fourth key.
No, the third one.
Oh, the third key, sorry.
Yes. So it's the best players have to be our best players, and the supporting cast will be there to help out. That's what I said, and I'm giving that a thumbs down. This is not going too well right now, and we're tied in the series.
Yeah.
All right. First of all, with the best players have to be the best players, we all know who they are, starting with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. I mean, at least they have showed up. They played out in game one. And Marner, I have no problem with Marner for the because of the special teams. He's really...
Yes.
You really see him. He gets that extra ice time. But I think that's where Austin Matthews is kind of, I guess, left out a little bit. And the fact that there has been so many penalties, but on us. But still, in those times where we're on the power play, those are the times where we need him we need him to look like the superstar he is. And he just hasn't been that. I was saying to you the other day, it's almost like it's a repeat of the Philippe Deneau performance from last year with the Habs, but this time it's the line of Braden Point, Alex Killorn, and Anthony Cirelli that are basically, they're doing it as a combo. It's not just one that are checking, but I don't know, either Sheldon Keefe has to do a little bit of a better job getting him away, like when they're on the road, getting him away from that matchup, or Auston Matthews has to do a better job of fighting through that because he is a superstar.
I would say it's got to be both. It's like, you know, in that regard, Keefe made some blunders in that game for sure, because, you know, on the road, you know, why are and actually in any game, you know, he's your superstar. Why are you waiting till the third shift to start him? Mm-hmm. You know, aren't you kind of overthinking things when you're doing that? This guy is a horse. And like, I just watched the Kentucky Derby on the weekend, and horses want to run, you know, star horses, they want to run. Yeah. Okay. So why are you holding him back? Number one. But number two, Auston Matthews himself, he's got to get over that personal hump. He's got to fight through that adversity. He's got to, you know, raise his level and, you know, shoot more.
And he's,
why is he not shooting?
Yeah. And he's said those words all throughout the regular season, right? That the time is going to be in the playoffs. Like that's when things are going to, like, where he's going to have to basically be the dominant performer, and he hasn't yet, let's just say, right? There's three games left.
So, but if you're Auston Matthews, be Auston Matthews.
Yeah, but the other thing, I guess, when it comes to Sheldon Keefe and his, I guess, working out, managing of the lines, I mean, when David Camp, basically, as of after game three, David Camp has had the most ice time 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. So when that's the case, you know that that's not good. I mean, David Camp is he's really an excellent defensive player, but we need if it's not Auston Matthews being the most ice time, it should be Mitch Marner, it should be William Nylander, not David Camp.
No, 100%. Like, I know part of that is because of all the specialty teams and all the penalty killing, but at the same time, though,
this 5-on-5.
You're not going to win playing defense.
No. No,
like,
exactly.
What do you just, you have to score.
Yeah. And
you can't make your game plan all about keeping the puck out of the net. And we've seen that doesn't work for our team anyways. Yeah. Our best defense is our offense because those guys carry the puck and they hold on to it. And that is the whole thing.
Well, yeah.
They
and
have
you need to
get the puck and keep the puck.
Yeah, you need to get Matthews. Obviously, he needs to get touches of the puck too, right? To get a feel for the game, right? He's not going to get that feel by having reduced ice time 5-on-5. Like, he needs to be on
there.
No,
and in that regard, like I said, why are you waiting so long to get him in the game then? Because you're just giving, you know, extra time for them to call stuff, and then he's not going to get on for God knows how long.
Yeah, and then the other players mentioned a little bit, John Tavares. I mean, he needs to be better. Yesterday after the game four, he said that like he knows that he needs to be better offensively and contribute. And basically I tweeted, like, great, then be better. Like, it's easy for us to say, but he's the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, I mean, that's it, sort of thing. I'm not going to get into this $11 million contract crap or whatever. He's the captain. That's it.
But it's not about the money.
No.
It's not about what he makes. It's about the fact that, are you going to be a leader? Like, if you're not going to be the vocal leader, which I don't think he is in the room, then you better be the leader out on the ice.
Yeah. And like, it's not like he's not trying, but he has to be a difference maker in other ways. Yes, he's not the most fleet of foot, let's just say, but I mean, he can, obviously, he's done well on the draws. That's about it. On the face-offs, he's done well. But he can draw penalties. Like yesterday, I mean, it was so dumb, actually, that Sergachev, this was towards the end of the game, too, or in the third period, where he basically gave him a shot in the face. It's like, but he didn't do anything back like Tavares. Like, do something. I know that's not our, in our DNA, let's just say, as a team, but still, like, the game is over. Fight back. Show some emotion that way. And just be harder in front of the net then. Like, try, like, I don't know. I actually said in that last, our final episode of the regular season, also, I thought he'd have a fantastic, maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I thought that he was going to be like all over this series, and he just hasn't been. And his partner Nylander is basically,
he's back to Free Willy.
The enigma of William Nylander, Free Willy. Yeah. Like, it's
100%.
Just, with him, it's worse though, because he has such like the, he has everything, all the tools. And I don't know. It's like the sushi is still bad and it's come for lasted the whole week so far. I don't know. Maybe hopefully he scored the two goals in game four towards the end, and hopefully that changes things before him and going to game five. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, he is the most frustrating player, because like he showed up that last game and he basically has to expend, you know, 50% of the effort that other people have to to produce.
Yeah.
So he doesn't even have to work as hard as everyone. He doesn't have to go 100% to produce. But he just doesn't seem to want to put it together, and he doesn't seem to, you know, he's definitely that one of those guys that doesn't seem to want to fight the adversity, and in this case the increased physicality in the game. He just doesn't want to engage that way somehow.
Yeah, my nephew seems to think it's the goatee thing. He said to me that it looks weird and he should either take it off or just leave it to grow however grows naturally out, sort of thing. He thinks he's manicuring it in a weird kind of way. And I'm like, okay, well
I don't know what facial hair really has to do with things at this point of the season.
We're pulling at straws here trying to make...
Totally.
Yeah. Anyway, what's the last one? Number four for our...
Well, the last one is taking their game to the next level. And unfortunately, I think I'm going to have to give this a thumbs down, because again, they just are not, you know, you're seeing Tampa, for example, they are raising their game. They played like crap in game one, and man, did they come out like a different team in game two. And we're just not seeing that same kind of elevation in the game of, you know,
it's just it's the consistency
on our team.
Yes,
that's what it is. It's the consistency.
Yeah, it's the consistency. And the worrisome thing is, I mean, like Tampa can play along like this, going back and forth like a teeter totter in the way that, because they haven't played well either, let's just say, right?
No.
In the games that they've lost. But I mean, we know that they can basically put two or three games together to the next level and more. And that's why not taking advantage of that on our side is worrisome, because they're the cup champions and they could just, but I gave it a thumbs down as well. I just think I started thinking to myself, maybe there's just too much thought in these, like in the coaching decisions. I mean, we have the...
I was just going to say that.
We have too many cooks in the kitchen, as they say, right?
Yeah. There's like, I think that they're doing it again. They're overthinking things.
Yeah.
Like even, you know, the way they, like at some point, I think you just got to throw everybody out there and just go, you know what? Just go and do it. Like, forget all of this, you know, matchup business and all of that. Put your best guys together, move them around, move Marner with JT for a little while if you have to. Put Willie up there with Matthews.
Yeah.
You know, like focus on those guys instead of getting your third pair of D out to start the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why are you doing that? Like, you're totally overthinking things if you're going to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, totally. So
just get your horses out there and let them run.
Yep. So All right. So that wasn't too, we thought we'd be a little bit more positive. I mean, on the positive, they are tied. Yes, it's a series tie. It's a best 2 out of 3. We have home ice, so let's see what they can do. But
And I mean, it's not like we haven't lived through these kinds of things before, because I remember in the 92-93, you know, that first round, it went to a game That's 7, true. And we lost some games like 6-0 in that series. We had a young, unproven goaltender.
Yeah.
That was, you know, very much a roller coaster, and Detroit at that time was a juggernaut in our division. So it's very similar, but we did have people on that team that did raise their game. So we need to see that from these guys too.
And had that killer instinct, right?
That's right.
Yes. But anyhow, our Leafs have given us some next level highlight reel moments. So that's a positive. And for the most part, mind you, it's been the supporting cast that's got the job done. So let's roll the Ladies Talking Leafs playoff highlight reel.
All right. So in the third spot, we've mentioned him already, we have David Kampf. Very, very deserving. He has 2 goals through the first 4 games, a shorty in the first game, and in the game winner in game 3, where he intercepted a pass at center and then wired a shot past Vasilevsky through a screen. He has played amazing, but as we said, you know, we don't want to rely on his offensive touch, because that's not really what he's there for. But he has been a juggernaut on defense for us, especially with all of the penalty kills that we've had to do. He's just so, so great in the defensive zone with the faceoffs and getting the puck to go down the other side. So,
exactly. And, I mean, there's not much more I can say, but he's just proven this season, the whole regular season, he's been great. He's a team guy, definitely. And I mean, they did their job in that game 3 by the bottom 6 forwards. Like they got us that victory, that and Jack Campbell. But at some point, you need the actual guys that are supposed to win you the games to come up as like winning the game for you. So hopefully that we still have that, have to see that basically, except for game 1. Right. But David Kampf definitely is worthy of our number 3. Now moving to number 2, we're going to go to a defenseman, Ilya Lyubushkin. So on his play, he had a highlight reel pass in game 3 coming out of the penalty box, going in on a 3-on-1, and he waited. I couldn't believe how long. It felt like forever he was waiting to send the pass over to Colin Blackwell. And then Blackwell pretty much had an open net for his first NHL playoff goal. And Lyubushkin, he's played really well alongside Morgan Rielly. He's basically, most of the time, he's only playing, I think, the 5-on-5 time with Rielly, because he doesn't, his minutes aren't huge in comparison to what Morgan Rielly plays, but he's steady back there. I mean, yes, he's made a couple of mistakes, but I'd rather have him in the lineup, and at least he takes the body and he clears the front of the net, and he's a guy. He's kind of like Roman Polak, like we've mentioned in previous shows, but he's a team guy, and he's not flashy or anything, but he just gets the job done.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And that was actually a beautiful play. That was like a playmaker's play. Yeah. So
yeah,
don't definitely
expect it from him. That's for sure.
Maybe once in a lifetime thing. But but you know what? You know, he listened to his friend, the other Ilya, who just told him to, you know, Just give it a try.
Yeah, close
you
your
know,
eyes.
Shoot and
close your eyes.
Close your eyes and good stuff will happen. Yeah. So definitely. So in our number 1 spot, we have Jack Campbell. So for the second time in as many weeks, that soup makes our highlight reel. So once again, the moment came with a spectacular save on Steven Stamkos that basically got us the win. That was like an incredible, like the whole arena thought that was in.
Yeah.
So
including Steven Stamkos, he just was standing there for a bit. He couldn't believe it either. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So definitely deserving. He had a tough night last night, but
what did you think of that conversation he was having with
well, you know, some people, I guess, you know, there's some people who think that was a pretty bad look, but yeah. I didn't mind it because, you know, I think the coach knows his players best, and I think that it showed a lot of respect on both sides for each other. And it's not like they were arguing or anything. It was a very level-headed discussion. So, I mean, yes, it obviously took time away from the game, and these decisions really should kind of be made beforehand. But I don't know. I didn't have as much of a problem with it as some people did.
I don't know. I guess it's the old school mentality too, right? So a lot of the players were former players that are analysts now on the TV or radio are saying, like, you know, it's the coach's decision. You're out. You can talk about it later, sort of thing, right?
But he knows that Campbell, you know, and Campbell is a little bit more of a sensitive guy. He is really hard on himself. And I think, you know, like, basically they have to maintain his, you know,
which
him physically and mentally, if we're going to have any shot at winning this. So how they handle that, I think it is important in this case. Yeah. So
right now it is, but we'll talk more about this much later, I think, in the off season a little bit, because I have some thoughts on that too.
But right now, it's
important.
He's the only one we got.
Yeah.
You're not going to go with Shalgren for the rest of this. So you have to be able to maintain him. And I think it probably paid dividends, because listening to his presser after, that's probably the most confident I've heard Campbell sound after being completely shelled and taken out of a game.
Yeah.
You know, there was none of this.
My fault.
I've got to be better. Yeah. It's all my fault. Yeah. You know, down on himself.
Yeah,
he sounded very confident still, and basically was ready to put it behind him. So maybe it was worth it doing that.
Yeah, and just, you mentioned Shalgren. I thought he played really well coming in.
Yeah, he did.
Like, just to,
but he's really good. Actually, he is really a good backup, because when he comes in, he just really dials in.
Yeah,
and can focus, and he's always better, I think, when he comes into a game than when he starts.
Yeah, for sure. Anyways.
All right. So noticeably absent from our playoff highlight reel segment, obviously, are the Leaf star players. And as we've mentioned, if we're going to go anywhere in these playoffs, next week's show has to include at least two and maybe three of these guys. So Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, John Tavares, or William Nylander. So now we're going to go and move on to our third period segment. And we're going to talk about a couple of the other series going on that in the NHL playoffs at the moment that we are kind of still interested in.
So
what are you kind of watching now?
So now I've switched off from the Edmonton LA series, I think, because the LA, it's too late for me. I've been falling asleep. I'm picking an earlier series now, but I was watching this one last week too, was the Rangers in Pittsburgh. I don't know, Sid, I was going to say it earlier, not to say John Tavares is similar, is like Sidney Crosby, but I mean, Sidney Crosby is a machine. He's like 34 years old. They're basically around, Sid is actually a little bit shorter than Tavares. And the weight is about the same. Tavares is about 10 pounds heavier than Sid. And I'm like, look at this guy. He's a machine. It's the whole mentality though. Like, he wants to win so bad all the time. And like, he's been playing great in the series, and they're playing tonight actually right now. But the thing that caught my eye here too was Shesterkin. Personally, I think he's actually getting tired finally, because he played in the regular season 53 games. He's probably going to win the Vezina. Like, he was the best goalie in the NHL for this regular season. But I guess they pulled him the last game because Pittsburgh's up on the series now 2-1. The other guy I was impressed with was a nice pickup they got there from Winnipeg is Andrew Kopp. And he's basically scored in almost every game for them too, for the Rangers actually. And I don't know. It could be the last time for Sid, Malkin, and Letang, right, to be together. So it's, yeah, it's going to be interesting how this series goes. But right now, Pitt is leading, and I don't know how I feel about this. It's funny. did you hear about the, it's the only series two, which is crazy. And it's the playoffs. You always get overtime, like in the playoffs, mm-hmm. almost in every series. And this is the only series that's had the triple overtime.
Right.
I can't believe mm-hmm. that. Like every other series, they have four or more goals, basically. Like
I've never seen like so many series with so many blowouts too, you know, like,
yeah.
So ours isn't the only roller coaster series that's out there right now.
No,
it's kind of,
it's crazy.
It's just so bizarre.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. But yeah, so it's a pretty, whatever, intense. It's just like any of the other series, I guess, but the Rangers in Pittsburgh kind of have like a little rivalry too, being in the Metropolitan Division, both of them. So, yeah, that one, basically I'm watching that one mostly now with, that one and a little bit of the, I'm still watching the Edmonton one. Cause I like watching Zach Hyman still, have to say. And I'm not bothering with Colorado so much with Naz because they've just taken over everything there with that series. So I pretty much know Naz is going onto the next round.
Yeah, so their hump is the second round, though,
yes.
for Colorado.
Yeah.
They need to get past the second, so
yeah.
That's their nemesis.
Yeah, and which series are you looking at?
So, I don't know. The Minnesota, St. Louis, I watched it. I don't know. It's not really doing it for me, so I kind of have switched off. I actually have been watching the same series that you're watching, the Rangers in Pittsburgh. It's been really exciting hockey to watch, but I also kind of got my interest peaked a little bit for the Florida Panthers Capitals series. Like, to me, it's a little bit like a bit of a mirror to ours, you know, because Washington is such a veteran team, and you know, former Stanley Cup winner, not too far removed, mm-hmm. and the Panthers are an unproven team who won the President's Trophy and maybe think that they're, you know, better than they are, like it's going to be easier than it is turning out to be. So I'm kind of interested to see if Florida can, you know, basically get it together. And
yeah. Well, I heard that the Capitals actually during the regular season, they probably would have done better. Let's just say rather, because they're a wild card team, but they probably would have done better. But they had quite a few injuries to the key players, like Oshie and one other guy, I've forgotten the name, but Oshie is a big part of their team. And I think Carlson might have been injured. I'm not sure, but during the regular season. But yeah, so, I mean, the other series I was going to mention just quickly too, which is, it's really beyond bizarre, is that Carolina Hurricanes and the Bruins.
Yeah.
Like that one there. I mean, there's a star, even much as I hate him, and we both hate him,
I know.
Brad Marchand.
I couldn't believe, like, yes. He is the guy that basically took the game on his back yesterday.
So, I mean, they can, like, there's still that in the game, in my opinion, and he proved that, like, one player can just say, like, screw this, I'm doing it. And he did it, so why can't Austin Matthews do it?
Or 100%.
Or why can't William Nylander?
Or even Willie.
Just one game for Willie, we're asking for that, right? Like, whether it be tomorrow night.
Or not in the 11th hour when it doesn't matter anymore.
No, from the drop of the puck, basically. Yeah. Start on time. But yeah, and then the other thing obviously is with the goaltender situation on Carolina, and Freddie apparently still hasn't even touched the ice yet. Mm. So that I was just like, I don't know what's going on with little Freddie there, but I still have hopes for Freddie.
Yep.
Yeah. But right now, as we said earlier, or as I said earlier, Colorado is really the Avalanche are really the only team in cruise control. And they could be might be a sweep tonight versus the Nashville Predators. Nashville just doesn't, I mean, their goalie got injured, basically.
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
And that really put them behind the eight ball.
Yeah, that basically did them in. But whether it be tonight or game five, I think the Predators are done. So, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So By this time next week, we'll either be celebrating the Leafs moving on to the next round or talking about another disappointing end to the season. So,
yeah, let's hope it's the former. And we're talking about it on our next show next week. We're talking about celebrating, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And because it's this week is a huge, not just big, it's a huge week for Brendan Shanahan, Kyle Dubas and company. And mm-hmm. one final reminder to our listeners to be sure to leave us a rating or review and let us know what you think of this show. If you have any thoughts or ideas and what you want us to talk about, let us know. You can always DM us on social media. Our handle on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, it's at LTL1917. When it comes to leaving a rating review, it's easy on Apple and Spotify, and it's important for our show to get more exposure as a source for Leaf content. And we thank you for taking the time.
And another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. So you can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
Yeah, and don't forget to check out our website, ladiestalkingleafs.com. As always, we want to thank our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
So, Leafs Nation, let's do our best to be positive.
Yes.
The series isn't over yet. It's not over till it's over. And we're pretty sure this series is going 7. So, go Leafs, go!
Go Leafs, go!
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.